For Sunday, September 15th, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemers Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We're a member church of the ELCA, and today we are going to hear Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Let's listen now as Pastor Kendra Wild reads the gospel, followed by a sermon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them a parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I was preparing for this sermon, I encountered a startling revelation. So this is the lost and found parables, right? So I thought I would do a little bit of research and talk with someone who's well acquainted with losing and finding. And I asked around, and I got the name of Ray Brown. Now, Ray Brown is a retired Episcopal priest and also someone who has worked in Lewis and Clark County Search and Rescue for 40 years. And I asked him about his experience in search and rescue, what that was like, and what it was like finding people. And I was expecting lots of nice, happy stories and, you know, the kind of stuff we get in the newspaper. You get images of exhausted but relieved and grateful people, right? Well, he told me something really surprising. And that is, not all lost people want to be found. Some people would even curse at him and his crew, angry with them for coming out to find them. "Why did you waste the resources? Why did you come looking for me? I didn't want to be found. I'm not lost." I have no idea. But this really, it actually makes a really, I think, helpful analogy for us, the church, to think about in spiritual terms as well, because I think we also know of people who don't want to be found. And there are as many reasons, as unique as the people involved, as to why this might be. And as I was thinking about this, I came up with three stories, and I know that they are just three among many, and I am sure that you all could add to this collection of stories, and I think it could be really informative for us to spend a little bit of time thinking about who doesn't want to be found, and why. First, Luke. Luke grew up in the church. He was baptized and confirmed, and then he disappeared in high school. And he hasn't been back to the church, not really, except for a few occasional Christmas cameos. Luke is not sure about his faith, about faith in general, or even about God. Luke is not interested in people coming at him with answers. Luke's lostness has to do with finding meaning in life and also an authentic community. I do think Luke is interested in fellow companions on the journey, a community that is willing to listen to and also ask questions, a community that is willing to be real with one another about their doubts and struggles, a community that is willing to take risks and to actually live out what they believe and extend fellowship to people like him who aren't sure at all of what they believe. And then there's Kat. Kat would probably say she's lost, admit that she's lost, and may want to be found, but certainly not by Christians. Kat not only has plenty of general criticisms of Christianity and the church, she has some pretty specific personal reasons to not like the church. She experienced the church to be a place where she experienced judgment and rejection. What can we do for Kat and those like her? I once encountered a really provocative idea, and that was the idea of a reverse confessional. Now, here's the idea. This church set up this booth at a farmer's market. And the idea was that there was a pastor in this booth, only it wasn't there for someone to go in and confess their sins to the pastor. The idea was that they would go in and they would confess their hurt, the way that the church has hurt them. And the pastor would listen and ask for forgiveness and seek reconciliation. A reverse confessional. Now, I'm not sure we actually have to have the building, because I think this kind of thing, opportunities for this kind of thing happen all the time. At least to me, they do. I hear of people who have been hurt by the church. Can we listen without giving excuses or defending? Can we ask for forgiveness? The third story for me is the most difficult one. This is a story of Paul. Using the analogy of someone who gets lost in the wilderness, Paul is that person who goes to the wilderness and couldn't see any reason to want to go back home. In fact, I think he went to the wilderness with intention of never returning. Paul suffered from bipolar, a mental illness that causes someone to experience extreme highs and extreme low moods. Paul's disease had so distorted his thinking that he figured he was no longer worth finding. And to make matters worse, Paul was pretty good at hiding how he was really doing. So what do we do for those like Paul? We make it okay to say that you're not okay. We befriend them and help them find the resources that they need. NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, has done good work at building better lives for those affected by mental illness. And next weekend, there's going to be a walk to support NAMI and to raise awareness about mental illness in our community. And I know that Kevin and Lisa Matthews are doing the walk, and is anyone else here going to be doing that? Well, I know if you want to support NAMI, you can contact them and they can give you more information. So I've shared a few stories with you this morning. A few stories of people who are lost and don't want to be found or believe that they can't be found or might want to be found, but they're not sure they want to be found by Christians. So who comes to mind for you? Who doesn't want to be found? And where is Jesus in all of this? I've given some suggestions I can think of as to how the church can respond in this search and rescue type work, but what about Jesus? Isn't Jesus part of our search and rescue squad? Yes. And even more importantly, I think Jesus never left those who were lost. Jesus is with us always, whether we are lost or found. There's never been a time when Jesus isn't with us. We may deny Jesus, but he is still there, like air in our lungs. We may get angry with God, but God is still there like water in our mouth. We may feel like God has rejected us, but God is still there like the ground under our feet. That's who God is. That's who Jesus was. That's the Holy Spirit still at work. And so, when the lost start showing up here, we better be ready. Ready to be transformed. For the lost and the strangers, the outcasts and the misfits, the shunned and the hurting, they're Jesus' people. And we're called not just to affirm them like we're some benevolent found ones who will be nice and thoughtfully include those who have been away for a while. Instead, I think we are called to reorient our vision. The lost ones are to be put at the center, understood as the crucial link, the vital connection, the ones whose stories of forgiveness, of healing, of community, of finding Jesus in the wilderness. Those are the stories that will transform us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.